Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Now, back to Real Ghost Stories Online, live.
Let's go to a ghost story at 855-853-4802. If you'd like to share one with us, that's the phone number to call in. Let's hear what this individual has to share.
Is that my individual?
Going to a phone call, and you have the phone calls so there, Carol.
That would be my individual.
That would be your cue after that very long setup.
I think
where I thought, you know, I'm hinting we're going to go to a call, we're going to go to a story. Maybe you can start moving the mouse and getting it ready.
I've had a traumatic day. So I lost. Satan stole a camera from me, Tony. Does it get more traumatic than that?
Get the fucking call on.
Yeah, my name is Brandy. I'm calling from the Austin, Texas area. I'd called before and left a message regarding a ghost that walked up on me when I was doing laundry. I have another one I wanted to share. So this one was more recent. A little backstory. I recently moved out to Texas from Southern California. Was staying with my mom for a couple months. So this took place while I was staying with her, and I got a new job, and the shift is a midnight shift. So I work from 11 p.m. to about 7:30 a.m. So naturally I have to sleep during the day. I have a 10-year-old son. So one day he comes home and he wakes me up and he asks if he can go outside and play, and I tell him he can. So I'm trying to go back to sleep, and I hear a bunch of ruckus downstairs. Sounds like there's a bunch of people running on the laminate flooring. So I kind of yell, don't hear a response, yell again, don't hear a response, get up, go downstairs, see what the hell's going on. No one's there. I'm by myself, just the dog, and she's sleeping on the chair. So I decide I'm just going to try napping on the couch, maybe get a little extra sleep before my son comes home or my mom gets home from work. Multiple times while I was sleeping on the couch, I heard somebody walking about the house on the laminate flooring. And it would kind of wake me up, and I would kind of like turn over and look and see, you know, if it was the dog maybe, because I knew nobody came in the front door. But she would just be sleeping soundly on the chair. Several times this happened in this couple hours. And I had never heard noises in the house before, nothing like that. And haven't since this day. That happens a few times. A little bit later, my mom comes home. We're, you know, we make dinner and we're eating, whatever. We're done with dinner, cleaning up. I'm sitting in the kitchen and I'm text messaging a girlfriend of mine, and my mom's phone is across the kitchen, clear across the kitchen on a counter, plugged in, charging. And I'm in there by myself. And all of a sudden her phone starts playing a Tom Petty song. Let me go back a little bit. This was just maybe a day or two after he passed away. And I took his death unreasonably hard. You would have thought I knew the guy. It was pretty embarrassing, actually. But yeah, so I was really sad and had a heavy feeling in my gut for a good couple weeks after he passed away. Well, anyway, this happened a couple days after. So back to what I was saying, all of a sudden my mom's phone just starts playing a Tom Petty song. And I look up and I think maybe she changed her ringtone or something. And I'm looking at the phone waiting for it to light up to indicate that somebody's calling, but it doesn't. So a couple seconds goes by, I walk over, I push the button, and there's nobody calling, and nothing shows up. It's just her background. The song is just playing. And then eventually a couple seconds later, she comes walking in, and she has no idea how that song is even on her phone or whatnot. She said she had been listening to a Pandora station earlier in the day, but turned it off. So yeah, so we thought that was kind of weird. And as much as I would love to think that it was Tom Petty coming to say, you know, goodbye to me, I highly doubt that. I'm not that unreasonable or illogical. I just thought it was kind of a cool experience, especially since I had been hearing activity throughout the house that day, and then that happened. So I just wanted to share that and see if maybe anyone had any input. Again, like I said before, last time I called, I really, really appreciate your guys' show. And it feels good to be able to call and tell my story to people who will actually believe it and not think I'm crazy. So keep it up, and I will probably give you guys a call again. All right, bye.
No, she's fucking crazy.
Oh my God, that's so interesting. Tony's like,
what she said, believing in crazy, like, oh, you're crazy. No,
the odds of that happening, I think, are incredible.
Yeah, I think so too. What I was interested in is where she said she took the death unreasonably hard of someone that she said she didn't really know, you know, obviously that well, Tom Petty. You know, there's a lot of ways people are, you know, connected to the things that we take in throughout life, the things that we identify with. And I think in some cases, the deaths of people that we may have never actually known in life personally can hit us harder than those that we actually have, because sometimes
a profound connection.
Because I think there's sometimes those connections, like, exactly, that are made, and their contribution to your life without any contribution to theirs, other than, you know, being a supporter of their art, is so great that contribution outweighs the contributions of some people that are close to you, or you think maybe otherwise should be greater contributors, but are not. And it's interesting, the correlation there. And when you tend to gravitate toward things like that for comfort and safety and happiness, then that of people that maybe should be in your own sphere.
You know, I think with artists like that, there's a very unique connection that a lot of people have with their favorite artist. Like when Merle Haggard died for me, it was really, really difficult because he was my dad's favorite artist. So he reminded me so much of my dad.
Yeah.
So when he died, I felt like, that's funny because we were talking about that earlier about Todd being in a haunted church. But it was very hard for me. And of course, it happened while I was on the air, and I was the one who had to make the announcement. I bawled like a baby that day.
Yeah.
But it was just a really profound loss to me because I connected him with my dad. And so an artist like a Tom Petty, for her, got her through some really difficult times. And, you know, that you get that kind of connection with their music. And so for him to have passed, she took it really hard. And then mysteriously, Tom Petty starts playing somehow on her mom's phone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what Tom Petty's ghost was up to after he died, but maybe like he went to his big core fans and he was like, "Yo, Tom."
He went to his P1s.
Exactly what he did. A little radio term for people.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, to me, and there was activity in the house that day, and she doesn't, I think she said in there, it hadn't happened after that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a weird day anyway with weird activity. And there's like 1 million songs that could start playing. Why does a Tom Petty song start?
Unless somebody who was there trying to connect with her knew that she was very upset about it and somehow, you know, tried to do that. In addition to what you said, Tony, about some of these artists, I think too, though, sometimes, like when Tom Petty died, I kind of bummed me out too. Sure. Like I like Tom Petty, but I think you also start to think about your life and how much time has gone by. Mm-hmm. I had something similar happen when Letterman retired. Like it was sad to me that he retired, but it was more so the fact that I remember watching him when I was 12 years old and now I'm, you know, 45 years old when he retires and it doesn't feel like it was that long.
Exactly. Now it's those moments, those kind of those little landmarks in life that you go, holy shit. I texted you one the other day. I was on my porch. I was listening to me. Who was it? Who's 82?
Oh yeah. It's a woman. Carly Simon.
Carly Simon.
Yeah.
82. Yeah. And I was just like, holy crap. It's just, yeah. Yeah. I had a moment when it was kind of ghostly too. it was not that long ago when Suzanne Summers died. I was a big fan of Step by Step, and I was shaken up. What? And it was the weirdest thing. I went to this old chest, this old Hope chest that was in the basement underneath a large rag. There was a lot of cat fur there. We got it all off in there.
In the hope chest.
I'm just gonna start looking through random things today.
The only man I know who has
Summers died, and there was this Thigh Master.
I knew that's where it was going. I knew it
was gonna show up here. So
and I was like, there you are, my old friend. There you are. And I got up the VHS and popped it in and popped out the Thigh Master, and
you've been burning ever since.
My, do your thighs hurt?
And all of its blue and little red glory, it was right there. The Thigh Master. You might have garage sales, I think I went to as a child, where that was like sitting on the lawn in the free pile. Like, free.
Man, but back in the day, I mean, everyone was like Suzanne Summers. And it's like, if that's what it takes, I'll buy it.
She was older than I realized when she died too. Or when she died
was quite old too. Yeah.
She always looked younger though. I think that was is Patrick Duffy still around?
He is. Yes.
Okay.
That's why life isn't fair. She's gone, but we still have Patrick Duffy.
Just in case they decide to do another remake of Dallas, we have Patrick Duffy, and life goes on. I enjoyed the remake of Dallas. Did anybody watch that like 10 years ago?
What they no. did?
It was good. And then they canceled it and never know what's going to happen. JR, they brought his ghost back. He was going to start haunting. No, I don't know.
I was buying into that.
You can't believe anything he says tonight.
I know. And I should know that.
The Thigh Master was a true story.
In his hope chest.
In my hope chest. What is a hope chest?
Was he named after somebody who worked at the radio station? I'm going to call this my Darla chest because I don't know anybody named Hope.
My family brought it back from the island of Shoshashoshua.
Oh my God.
Near the Point of Dimes.
I'm not story. Even drinking any beer tonight. And this is what's so sick.
In fact, I am. So here you go.
Ever since I can remember, and this is a ghost story, this is not me, I've been different. I didn't have a name for it as a child. I just assumed everyone else could see the strange things I did. The movements in the corner of the room, the figures that never seemed to notice that they were being watched. It wasn't until I got older that I realized no one else around me was reacting. They didn't see it. They didn't feel it. And that's when I started to understand I wasn't like everyone else. And that realization made the whole thing a lot scarier. I wouldn't say I've always seen spirits in the way movies make it look. They weren't standing there in front of my every move every single day. For me, it came in waves. Sometimes it would depend on my mood. If I was sad, stressed, or anxious, it would seem like the activity would ramp up. Other times it happened completely random, like they didn't care if I was ready or not. The earliest memory I have goes back to when I was about 7. We lived in this old two-story house on the edge of town. It was a kind of place you'd call charming if you were trying to sell it. But to me, it was alive in a way a house shouldn't be. Wide wooden stairs that creaked with the lightest step, windows that rattled even in a light breeze, and a basement none of us kids wanted to go into. To anyone else, it probably just looked like an older home, but to me, it felt like a place that had soaked up too much of the past. Every morning, just as the sun was starting to rise, I would look out the front window and see the same thing, a man walking by. Always at the same time, always the same slow, steady walk. At first, I thought nothing of it. People walk their neighborhoods. Maybe he was going to work early, but then I started to really look, and that's when I noticed something was wrong. The man didn't have a head. His body was there, arms swinging, legs striding in rhythm, but from the shoulders up, there was nothing. I remember one morning, I finally asked my mom about it. I just blurted out, "Why does the man outside not have a head?" And she froze. She gave me this sharp look and said, "Don't talk nonsense." That was the end of the conversation. No comfort, no explanation, just a scolding. And in that moment, I realized that what I was seeing wasn't something everyone else could. It wasn't normal. And maybe it was something I was supposed to keep to myself. As I got older, the activity in that house picked up. It wasn't just the headless man anymore. It was lights flickering, lamps clinking on. Even though we'd switched them off, my mom would get angry at us kids for wasting electricity. But I knew better. I knew it wasn't us. At night, the footsteps started, not the little creaks and groans that old houses make. These were deliberate, pounding steps running up and down the wooden staircase, full sprints. It would happen late at night, always, when the house was otherwise quiet. One night, I decided I wanted proof for myself. I stayed awake in bed, staring at the ceiling, heart racing, waiting. Sure enough, around midnight, the pounding started. I did this for four nights in a row. Each night the same thing, running up and down over and over. But the fourth night, everything changed. This time it wasn't running. The steps were slower, heavier, like boots stomping on each tread. Each step deliberate, closer and closer until they reached the top of the staircase and began moving down the hall towards the master bedroom. The room where my whole family was asleep. And then silence. The sound stopped right outside the door. I lay there with my breath held, eyes wide, staring at the shadow line under the door, waiting for it to move, waiting for the knob to turn, but it never did. Just silence pressing down on me, so thick I could hear the ringing in my ears. That was enough for me. I stopped my little experiment after that, but even without trying, we still heard it. The running, the stomping, the climb of heavy boots up the stairs. No one in my family ever admitted it out loud, but I know they heard it too. The scariest thing, though, didn't happen while I was awake. It happened in what I thought was a dream. Though deep down, I don't believe it was only that. In the dream, I was floating in the corner of the room, hovering, looking down at myself, lying in bed, and everything was exactly as it was in real life. My family was in their spots, the room in the same shadows. It was too precise and too real. Most of the dream was just me staring at myself from different angles, like my perspective was drifting around, but my gaze kept being pulled to one particular place, the dark space under my bed. At first, it was just shadows, but I couldn't look away. I felt like I was waiting for something. And then it happened. Two long bony hands shot out from the staircase. The skin was gray, stretched thin over the bones. The nails were yellow and jagged, curling like claws. They wrapped around my ankles and pulled. I woke up screaming, drenched in sweat, even though the room was freezing cold. And when my eyes flew open, the first thing I saw were my feet, the exact same position as they had been in the dream. For a few seconds, I couldn't tell if I was dreaming or if something had really grabbed me. After that, I couldn't sleep without curling myself into a ball, pulling the blanket tight and stacking pillows around my feet like a barricade. Even now, as an adult, I sometimes catch myself tucking my feet in the same way. Old habits, born of old fears. But that wasn't the only thing in that house. There were whispers, too. My sister once swore she heard her name called from the hallway. She was brushing her teeth and heard it, her name spoken low and raspy. I laughed it off at the time, but not long after, I heard it, too. I was in the bathroom, door cracked, when a voice whispered my name right outside. I whipped the door open. expecting to see my mom, but the hallway was empty. Then there was the mirror. We had this old full-length mirror in the upstairs hallway. I hated that thing. More than once, I caught movement in it that didn't match what was actually happening behind me. Sometimes shadows passed that weren't in the hall. Once, I swear, I saw that headless man walk across the reflection through the hallway. Itself was empty. I avoided that mirror as much as I could, and then there were the small but unsettling things, toys pulled out in the night, dishes rattling in the cupboards, a deck of cards spread across the table when no one had touched them. My brother once screamed so loud it woke the whole house because his blanket had been ripped off in the middle of the night. My mom finally admitted, though only once, that she had heard footsteps on the stairs while she was home alone. She said it quietly, almost like she regretted acknowledging it. When we finally moved out of that house, I thought I'd be done with it, thought I'd leave it behind, but I didn't. At our new house, it wasn't as constant, but it did follow me. Shadows started to cross my room at night. Sometimes the mattress dipped like someone had sat down beside me. Once I woke up to the sound of breathing right in my ear, slow and steady inhales, but no one was there. Then when I realized it, it wasn't just the house, it was me. That old house was the start. The place where I first understood not everyone sees what I see, where I first learned that not everything in the dark is harmless. The most important thing I've carried with me since then, once you've seen it, once the shadows itself, it shows itself to you, you never really forget.
Woo!
Thoughts on that?
You know what? That house really did remind me of the house I lived in when we were kids. A lot of those same things happened to us.
Yeah.
And I do think it follows you. And I think it follows you in a couple ways.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that sensitivity sticks with you. I think a lot of kids kind of have it and then it goes away. But I think when you grow up like that, I think you're just more sensitive to it.
Sure.
So that's why maybe nothing followed her. Maybe there was something there, or maybe she's got some abilities, you know, because she did see the man without the head outside.
There is the man without the head.
Yeah.
That's one of those.
Kid, it's like, why doesn't that guy have a head?
And you don't think it's anything weird.
Yeah. That's interesting. And even even down to the mom, because my mom was like that too. But I kind of, there was a whole nother set of issues with my mother, but I also think maybe either she didn't know it or she didn't want to feed into it with the kids, or she just didn't give any shits. I'm not sure. But
all of the above.
Plus a whole host of other things.
Yeah.
But I think that she was kind of the same way, because she wouldn't really acknowledge it. And then every now and again, she'd be like, yeah, so I was here today and I heard somebody coming down the stairs, or I heard someone walking around upstairs. When did you kids get back? And it was like, we've been gone forever. Close the door behind me.
It's open just a crack. So I think it's freaking people out.
There's a hand that keeps coming out of it every few
minutes. No, it's a coat.
No, it's not.
About a hand coming out.
It moves. Your coat move?
Yeah, it's got a hanger on the door. I can't make it shut the whole way.
No, you're going to keep traumatizing our listeners then. I hope you're happy.
Thanks for watching and listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any of the many ghost stories that we put out to you multiple times a day, 365 days a year, right here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And share your real ghost story with us as well. You can call in 24/7 at 855-853-4802 or write in on our website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Subscribe, share your story, and then come back and watch us live Monday nights, 8 p.m. Central, on our YouTube channel for Real Ghost Stories Online Live. And hit subscribe so you don't miss any of those episodes that we put out for you all week long, right here at Real Ghost Stories Online.